I just sensed in my spirit this morning that there's a that God is specifically wanting to touch a lady's heart who struggles to connect with God as a father. And even in this week, you are saying to God that it's so difficult for me to trust you, to put my trust in you. And I saw a picture of just like a chair, and how a man just threw like his tie and stuff there, and that God, that your image of a father has really been distorted, and so it's difficult for you to trust God, and even wrestling with God about his character. And so I feel this morning for that specific lady, as all our eyes are closed, that God is saying that he's looking out for you, and he knows that you're actually crying out to him from the depths of your heart and from your spirit. And as Stefan was even saying, that God's embrace is there for you, and that he cannot actually break our trust because it's against his character. And so, just as we're all focusing on the Lord this morning, if that's you, I just want you to actually open your heart towards the Father this morning. Because the Father says that he wants to heal your heart, and he wants to restore an image of what a man should be, a man who looks out for his daughter, the one who doesn't break the trust. And that's actually going to bring the freedom that you've been yearning for. So if you can relate to that word, just as all of us have our eyes closed and focus on Jesus, I just want you actually to raise your hand if you can relate to that word this morning. Hallelujah. So Father, thank you, God, that you see your daughters here, Lord God. Thank you, God, that your word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we receive that freedom this morning. You say that this Holy Spirit testifies with our spirits that we are sons and daughters of God. So Holy Spirit, right now, Father, I release your freedom over your daughters, Father. Thank you, God, that you open up the wells in their spirits, God. You say that your love is like a waterfall that just rushes over them, Lord God. And that fear that when is it going to stop, or when is he going to punish me, that stops today in Jesus' name. So thank you, God, for an ability for your daughter to receive the waterfall of your love today, God. Thank you, God, for a restoration of trust, God. And I just see you extending your hand to your daughter and saying, trust me, take my hand. And thank you, God, that you say that it's not only an ability to worship you and to see you, but that you call your daughters into an inheritance this morning, God. That you say that there's an inheritance for you as my daughter to reflect my glory where you are. So thank you, God, that you open their eyes to see the glory of the Lord in their workplaces, in their families, God, and that as a daughter, as a trusting daughter, God, they can trust you for so much more this morning. God, we praise your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that's got a word that they just feel that they want to share?
And everyone calls me Hlengi for short, and that's as good as it's going to get. I just have a testimony just about the Father's heart, and especially just about your identity in God. So, not so briefly. When I was in high school, I was one of the most confident girls you would ever find. I promise you. But my confidence wasn't. It was rooted in all of my achievements and who I knew I was, and I wasn't vain, but I just knew what I wanted, and I wasn't going to compromise or whatever. And when I got saved, everything that I knew was just broken into absolute nothingness. And I think for years and years, I've known the Lord for about 7-8 years now, but since 2006, and it's only now in 2013 that my identity in Christ is completely, I know what my identity in Christ is. And it's actually amazing because I went through all of these things where I tried to be everything. So in church, they'd pray to, oh Lord, thank you for this woman of quiet and whatever spirit. And I was like, gosh, I'm so loud. So it obviously doesn't glorify God or anyone else around me. So, and when I laugh like from the pit of my stomach. And I went through this thing, I was like, Okay, so this year my New Year's resolution is to laugh a bit softer. And it lasted for about, and I asked someone to keep me accountable and whatever, and it lasted for a good 2 days. But for those 2 days, I was so miserable. I promise you, it was one of the hardest things I'd actually ever had to do. And just, I've realized, and all of these other things that I tried to do as well, and I mean, struggled with eating disorders, all of these things to try and be someone that the Lord actually had not created me to be. And just a revelation that I have is there's no grace for trying to be someone else. And there's no, I cannot replace God's handiwork. And just last night in my quiet time, it was one of those things where the Lord said to me that everything that you are, I have made for a specific purpose. And you have a specific calling. And that's why I have created you. That's why you have a loud laugh. That's why you, you know, don't talk nonsense necessarily. But everything that I am and everything that I believe did not bless people, and I tried to change, the Lord said to me that I have made you this way, and who do you think you are to change that and to resent who I've made you to be? And just glory to God, because I think I wasted so much time just wasting it and resenting my gifts and resenting my callings and resenting my purpose, because I looked at the women around me, you know, all bushy-tailed and puppy-eyed and all the guys like them, and I was like, oh gosh, you know, what now? But I just want to say that today I'm a new woman. and it's phenomenal, because I think I'm the happiest now than I've ever been in my life, just because I know who I am. And I don't know where I'm going necessarily, but it doesn't matter, because I know God, you know? So yeah, that's my testimony today.
I just want to testify about yesterday. We went on prison ministry with the other people. Guys, I just want to share with you, it is so sensitive, you know. You find that it is like there are some children in the prison, you know, they don't know even their dog, you know, anything. And the way I was so moved about to see the ladies, the way they love the Lord, and we just went there to fellowship with them, to know them more about them, you know. But the thing is, they are hungry and thirsty for the Lord, and they were singing this and that. In the end, it was like I found myself in a situation where it was like they wanted me to preach. Yeah, it is so good, guys. Yeah, we have to, sometimes, some other time too, you know, to call the people that are hungry of Lord Jesus. Yeah.
Good morning. I'm Portia. I'm very emotional. I'm trying to keep it together. Well, I went home. I'm a varsity student and I stay in Bramfontein. And I went home this weekend. And I've always had this very messed up relationship with my stepfather, because he practiced witchcraft. And he would bring all of these things at home, these herbs and stuff. And I felt like he was putting our lives in danger, because he was opening channels for the devil to enter into our home. And when I went home this weekend, my mom told me that he started going to church, and that everything that he says, he includes Jesus in it. And he's been praying for our family a lot. And I'm so, so glad that my prayers have been answered, because I've been praying about it for months now. And it's just amazing how God has changed him, because even when I was praying, I still had that little doubt in my heart that he would actually change. But yeah, it means a lot to me that finally the head of our family has seen God's face. Thank you.
I love it when God already does the whole sermon before the sermon starts. And I'm not going to expand on that. I'll expand when we actually get there. But just before I hand over to Peter, I just want to just pray quickly. Father, we just want to thank you, God, for your heart for us, God, that your heart of love is just so extraordinary, God, and so overwhelming, God, if we really grasp it, and we only grasp glimpses of it even, and it's just amazing, Lord. And Lord, we just want to say, Lord, we want more of you, and we want less of ourselves, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, and we thank you that you're also restoring, God, like Portia's testified now, you're restoring the fathers and the children, God. Even stepfathers and children, God. We thank you for that heart that you're busy imparting in our lives and through this country and through this world, God, in Jesus' name.
And this morning, from my side as well, welcome. Everybody has come. It's amazing to just have you here with us. And a special welcome to all the wonderful couples that have returned from honeymoon. I think Jan, Louis, and Cara, they're still away. And then Pumi and Kinsiwe. You guys are back. Welcome back. Yeah. And Diewald, Janae, you guys are back. Welcome. Love to have you here. And Lindy, and it slipped my mind. Adrian. Welcome back to you guys as well. Awesome. And obviously, the Kiddies Church growth has got something to do with the weddings taking place as well. So it's amazing. And awesome to be with you. This morning is special to us for many different reasons. One of the reasons why it's special is because the Lord is here, and you guys are here, and that's always special. When the people of the Lord come together, and the Lord comes together as well, it's amazing just to experience the joy and experience the peace and the fellowship of the brothers and the sisters coming together in the house of the Lord. It's special. And then this morning, we just want to take an opportunity or make use of the opportunity to pray for young George and Christine. Those of you who got my email will know that this week has been a week of transition for young George, where he has moved away from just the position the Lord has given him at Hollard, and in terms of a more secular environment, and what he has been doing there, tremendously faithful over the years, and really has built up a wonderful name for himself, just in terms of integrity and faithfulness. And we already prayed for young George at the leaders' meeting on Thursday, as well as intercession beforehand, but I shared with the guys that sometimes, you know, I think there are two ways in which you can do staff appointments. The one is you can appoint somebody, give them a job description, and then hope that they will do the job. Or you can appoint somebody who's already doing the job. And in our case, it's a little bit of the latter, that young George has been doing incredible work even while he has been so fully committed at his job at Hollard. He's really been helping me a lot in terms of the admin. Most of you will know that I've got a dual role in terms of pastoring Johannesburg, but then also looking after the five other congregations in our region. So young George has been an incredible help to me, together with Lorraine and Alex, is lightening my load. But I'm excited to have him on board fully, to just share the pastoral responsibilities especially. He's got a tremendous pastoral heart, as well as a tremendous gift to really strengthen administrative systems, and that's a rare combination. To have that, to have a love for people as well, to know that you need systems in place to facilitate the love and make sure that's sustainable. And together with Christine, they form an incredible couple about whom we are very excited about the future that the Lord has for the two of them. So we'd like you guys just to come forward, and George and Christine, and we just want to make use of this opportunity to pray for them. So I'm going to ask you guys just to stand with us just as a sign. Also from the congregation side, that you accept them and that you embrace them. And what is so true about the gifts that the Lord gives us, the amount of blessing that the gift can be to us depends upon our willingness to receive from them. So I want us just to really open up our hearts this morning for the gifts that the Lord has given us, and to know that the Lord is going to bless you out of your socks through the two of them. You've got no idea the things the Lord has stored up for you, the blessing that they're going to be. In many different ways. And so let's just stretch out our hands towards them. You can alternate your hands. If the right arm gets a little bit weak, you can use the left. The left isn't less holy than the right. They're both holy. Just stretch out your hands towards them, just a sign of blessing, as Nikki and myself, as we just pray for them. So Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we can just publicly come, Lord, to just affirm your call upon young George and Christine's lives, Father God, together with Elaine and all the other boys and girls that you're going to give them, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring the Blifnut family before you, Lord, and we thank you for the blessing, Lord, of not having to do things in secret, Lord God, or allowing opportunities to pass us by, but to publicly honor gifts that you give us. And we thank you, Lord, that young George and Christine and Elaine, God, that they are a tremendous blessing to Shofar Johannesburg. We thank you, Lord, that you have prepared them, that you have equipped them, that you have raised them up for times such as this. We thank you for their faithfulness through the years, Lord God, to hold on to you and onto the promises that you have given them, Father. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have equipped them, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have strengthened their hands. We thank you, Father God, that everything that they've been through in their lives have set them up, Father, for this calling. We thank you, Lord, this is more than just a job, God. You know they're not doing this for the acclaim. You know they're not doing this for the title. You know they're definitely not doing this for the money, God. And so we pray, Father, that you will come and that you will reward them, Father, abundantly, exceedingly above and beyond anything they can imagine. We thank you, Lord God, for the ability that you have given them, Father, to not just start strong, but to finish strong. We thank you for endurance. We thank you, Lord God, that you will renew their strength around every corner. Whenever they turn to you, whenever, Lord God, they press into your presence, we thank you for a renewal of their strength, a renewal of their joy, a renewal of the anointing upon them. Thank you, Lord, that in front of them will be like it was in front of Jeremiah, the almond tree. Lord, the ability to see seasons change, the ability to see you being ready to perform your word. Thank you that you are standing over them, ready to perform your word, God. Every promise that you have given them, Lord, everything, every dream that you've placed in their hearts, we thank you that they will see it, Lord God. We thank you for the power of unity between them. Lord, as a couple, Lord God, that they will see things shift in the spirit, that they will see, Lord God, exponential growth, the work of the hands blessed beyond the physical effort that they put into it, God, because of the agreement between them. God, in Jesus' mighty name.
Lord, we thank you that your gifts and callings are irrevocable, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for a special knowing for the Blichnuts, Lord, that you have called them, Lord. You have prepared them, Father. Father, I come against every just ungodly fear, Lord, of the future, Lord. They will know, Lord, that you will lead them with your eye, Father, that they are in step with your word, in step with your plan, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they will know, Lord, that you will take them by the hand, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that they will follow your spirit in everything. I come against every ungodly yoke taken upon themselves in the natural, Lord. I just pray, Lord, they'll be led by your spirit in all things, just knowing that their head is on your chest, Lord God, being knowing your heartbeat, Lord, for the people, for to take the gospel, Lord, to every corner of the city. We pray your blessing over them, Lord. We pray your health over them, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, that you are for them and not against them, Father. Thank you that your hand is upon them for good and not for evil, Father. God, we thank you for every seed that they've sown over the years, and even, Lord, over this next month, God, that there will be an abundance, Lord, in reaping, an abundant harvest, Father, for them. Emotionally, Father, in terms of their friendships, Lord, in terms of their friendship with each other, financially. We thank you. We call all of those seeds, Lord God, into blossoming time, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that even though it's autumn in the natural, we thank you, Lord God, that they will always be one season ahead of the things in the natural, Father. God, that you will, Lord, you will take them, Father, to a time, Lord, where the fruitfulness in their lives are not dependent upon circumstances, Lord, that they will have a perpetual spring in their lives, Lord God, a perpetual fruit and abundance, Lord God, that comes from you. In Jesus' name, we honor you, we thank you, and we bless your name for your goodness, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us put our hands together for them. Let's thank the Lord.
The thought of someone rising from the dead and saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." That's a huge statement. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. So it starts with Jesus saying, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." At the end, he says, "Now go and make disciples of all nations." This is what you were created for. A lot of people have memorized this passage, but are they doing it? Is it actually happening? We're all afraid. We all have insecurities. Can we work together to get rid of those and pray that God gives us power over those things and then actually observe, actually go and do what he commanded us to do? And so the heart behind Multiply is to help us remember, remind each other, hey, we're disciples of Jesus. That means we make disciples of Jesus. This is not just for the super gifted, the super talented. I really believe as we're doing this, we're really going to experience the presence of Christ with us in a much more full way, in a much more real, tangible way. I mean, that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, was he says, look, I'm going to give you this Holy Spirit, and when he comes, you're going to receive power to be my witnesses. The heart behind Multiply is saying, how can we encourage every single follower of Christ to fish for men, every single disciple of Jesus to make disciples of Jesus, and then along the way, equip one another, help give one another tools that can be helpful in the process of making disciples, so that you and I together can be a part of accomplishing the greatest mission on the planet, seeing disciples made in every single nation, among every single people group.
Hallelujah.
For those that have been, that was here during the long weekends, you would have heard me speaking about Multiply and what we're going to do. I'm going to recap a little bit on that and then take it from there before we go on. Maybe just before I start there, it's really a privilege for me and Christine to come into your pastoral role in the church, and we really look forward to getting to know, well, most of you probably, for those that we don't know yet. And the good part of a lot of this is that most of you also know our weaknesses. So what was a huge blessing for me this morning at intercession, what Herman just shared with the guys is for them and for the congregation to continually pray for their leaders, and me also to pray for Heinrich and for Fred, etc. And I don't want to tell you to pray for me. I want to ask you to pray for us continually. If there's any for us and for Heinrich, for your small group facilitators, your zone coaches, everyone. If you have, like Heinrich put it, if you have a hint of an inclination that you need to pray for your leaders, pray. Okay, so it's the Bible is very clear about continue to pray for your leaders, etc., etc. We as well, we're responsible. We're going to be held accountable by God also for the way that we shepherd you guys as well, which is a very scary thought. And I've learned over the years how to speak in front of people. That doesn't mean that I am relaxed standing up here, okay? So I'm not intimidated by the crowd, but I am a little bit, voorzichtig. I'm very careful in terms of what I say, because what God also says that you're going to be held accountable by God for every word that we speak. And so if even during the sermon, you feel you want to pray for me, pray, okay? It's when we went to Rwanda last year on missions, I don't know who came up with it. Did you come up with it, Stefan? Steph, yes. Where we continually pray in the Spirit. We pray in tongues and so on. But obviously now you come in an environment where you're busy interacting with people, but you're in the habit of praying in the Spirit also the whole time, because you need to remain vigilant. And that's, by the way, that's a very good idea to do continually during your day as well, at work. And Steph called it prevel, because it looks like, well, I don't know what's prevel in English, sorry. Eh? Basically mumbling. And but it's, I mean, praying in the Spirit, it's praying in tongues, and you can obviously do it out loud, but when you're in a when you are in a setting where you can't really go out loud, then obviously, you pray just under in your voice, and that's where Steph came out with preveling. So, having said that, I want to ask you guys to continue to pray for us, whenever, always, and also for one another. Yeah. Just a short testimony about our journey up until here. And it goes a little bit back, and I'm glad my mom's here as well, because I think she started a big part of that process. Years back when I was still little, and my sister went through a bit of a rebellious phase, my older sister, and basically, I don't know if my mom remembers it, but she prayed to God and said that if God saves my sister or sorts that out, that situation out, then He can do anything with me that He wants to. and I'm thankful for that prayer. It's it doesn't mean that if your parents prayed that you called for full-time ministry. It just means that there's a good chance that God is going to be on your case to live a fully devoted life to God. Okay, so that's where a lot of it started, and I'm thankful for that, where God has just taken me through high school, through different, just through different leadership things, where I was a very shy kid at primary school, but he put me in certain leadership positions, like captain of a cricket team, which I didn't think I would be, and from there, it just built, and just different positions where God has put me in, where it's really shaped my character a lot, in order to actually now eventually be released in a pastoral role. And I know that this isn't the goal. I know that this is actually just the start. So when I needed to go study, I had this desire to go into full-time ministry, and it was between theology or BEREC to become a CA. Now, the two is quite opposites in a lot of thinking, and in my thinking in that stage as well. And all I just felt there back then, God was saying that, it was one of the scriptures out of Proverbs where he said, take heed of your father's advice, etc., etc. Now, my father's advice at that stage was to go into the finance route. Now, his motivation wasn't necessarily that which God's motivation necessarily was, but God used that in order to facilitate that, what God wanted me to do. And it was a long, long process in Stellenbosch, out of Stellenbosch, and back to Stellenbosch. And God learned me a whole lot of there, because I failed my first year completely. Like, passed two subjects, and Stellenbosch told me to go. And I had this funny mindset that I'm doing a whole lot of things for God in church. I'm involved with youth. I'm involved with that. I want to go on missions, etc., etc. But I had this funny mindset that I'm doing all these things for God, therefore the rest of my life will be sorted. And God very quickly taught me that it does not quite work like that. And that you need to put in the hard yards when it actually matters, in terms of studying, sitting down and studying. And that is probably, and I soon realized that was a course that God took me on, which is probably would have been one of the most challenging routes for me to take in order to my character to be developed in the way that he wanted me to be developed. And then obviously through articles, wrote board one also three times, and eventually at board two, came to the position where I said, okay, God, let's go. And I passed that the first time, and it was just, for me, I mean, looking back, it was nice passing at least one of the things just the first time. And that was the final one. And a lot of you that are sitting here prayed a lot for me in terms of my studies, and I want to encourage those that are studying and that are going through certain things, which you don't necessarily make sense of it, but you do believe that it is of God, to stick it through, because at the end, God will show you a little bit more of what his intent is in that. And there's a whole lot of character building that he is busy with within that. Anyway, just on the end of that story is that I got the results for board two on the Friday, and I gave in my resignation on the Monday. That is last year now, from out of auditing articles. Jacques and I used to work together. And a month later, I started working at Hollard, the 1st of April last year. And exactly a year later, I gave in my resignation again. And 1st of April, started working in the church. So it was all the way through. There was times where I could have stopped. There was times where I could have stopped and given up, or say, okay, no. Or there was also even opportunities to go then into full-time ministry at certain places. But all the while, I just felt God was saying, I want to finish what you started. And just something else is, my father also studied the same that I did. And he was working whilst he was studying, etc. So he never went and wrote his board exams, or he wrote the first one, but he didn't finish. And all the while, I know that was something that was a little bit hanging over him. And in a big way, I also feel that God has in this brought some redemption for him as well, in terms of me completing that which he also started. And also, he's provided in a lot for me to actually go there, my natural father. So, yeah, that's just a little bit of a testimony of where we are. And Yeah, I want to thank you for allowing us to, well, not that a lot of you had a say in it, but for entertaining the fact that I'm up here. Okay, I just want to just run a little bit. I'm going to recap a little bit on 2 weeks ago's sermon in terms of which I entitled Disciple Shift. Okay, and the whole title was Discipleship, but I crossed out the ship in order just to bring something to attention that there's something in our hearts that God wants to bring a shift in terms of the way that we look at discipleship. And up until now, there hasn't been that much wrong in the way that we've approached or the methods that we've used in terms of what we have been doing in terms of discipleship. What I mean with that is the one-on-one that we've done, the walking with Jesus, the purple book, those things are great tools, and we're going to continue doing that. The spiritual growth series, the small groups, those are all things, tools that are facilitating the whole process of discipleship, and we're going to continue doing that. However, a big shift that I believe that God is bringing to us as a whole is a heart shift in terms of the way that we look at discipleship. That it is not, if we're going to do discipleship out of a program-based approach and not out of a love for God and a love for people approach, then discipleship loses its meaning completely. Now, run you just very quickly, just recap very quickly one or two or a couple of the scriptures that I shared last time. I shared on the what the command is, and when we look at discipleship, I mentioned that when we hear command, then we typically think the Great Commission, and that is not the one that I'm referring to here. Where the command I'm talking about, where basically the greatest command when the disciples came to him, Matthew 12, it's up there. It says there, love the Lord our God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to do a very condensed version of that sermon in 10 minutes here. So I'd encourage you to go and download 2 weeks ago's sermon. Also encourage the rest of your small group that wasn't there last week or here today that they need to listen to this, because we're going to do this in small group. And I'll explain a little bit more about that if you weren't here that day. In John 15, from verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. And the very big point that comes out of there is that Jesus is calling us not to just experience his love and then move on. He's calling us to come into his love and to remain in his love. It's not a matter of coming to the cross and then leaving the cross. Okay, yes, there's coming to the cross and laying down your life and then moving on from there. But moving on from there means moving on in the love of Jesus Christ. You don't get a quick fix on Jesus' love and then you move on. It's a place of continually remaining in his love. And he says in verse 12 to 13, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And we had a little bit of a look at the commandment where God says we must love him with all of our hearts, and then also where we have to love one another. And where he says here that greater love is no one than this, than for him to lay down his life for his friends. It's a challenge to us to have that kind of a love for one another, but it's also a reflection of the love that Jesus has for us, where typically that is what he said, there is no greater love than this. And that is exactly what he did later in terms of laying down his own life for us. Yeah. And then we looked at the cost. I'm not going to expand too much on it, but basically when we share the gospel with somebody, and it's not only for them, but it's for us as well, that we really need to consider what it's going to cost us. And if it doesn't cost us anything, then there's a good chance that you may be a little bit stagnant at the moment. I'm not saying that it needs to cost you daily fund or money or persecution or whatever. What I'm saying is that continually during your walk in with Christ, he is going to conform you more and more into his likeness. And conforming more and more to his likeness is not always going to be all that comfortable. And that's a cost that we need to count. There are certain things that we're going to have to lay down from time to time. There's certain people that we need to go and speak to from time to time. And that is for a lot of us, sometimes a more challenging part when God says, okay, I need you to go and pray for this person. And you're like, are you sure? I shared this testimony before where airplanes is the best place to evangelize. Okay? For those that have a heart for evangelism, they can testify of this because they always look for an opportunity to testify. Because you sit, if you on a flight from Cape Town to Johannesburg, you sit for 2 hours next to the same person and they can't go anywhere. And so we were in India on missions and we came back and then I flew back from Cape Town to Johannesburg and I was sitting next to a guy that I used to play cricket with and against. He was in a neighboring town that was also studying in Stellenbosch. And we didn't have contact for a long time. So how was your holiday, et cetera, et cetera. And then you went to sleep. And then I felt the stirring. I felt the Holy Spirit just laying on my heart. I want you to share with him. I'm like, okay. Now I turn to him and he's sleeping. So I'm like, okay, God. How's this going to work? I'm like, all right. If you really want me to share with him, wake him up and let him start talking to me. And there's not a minute passed, and he starts fidgeting, and I just get a grin on my face. I'm like, okay. So he sits up, and I look at him, and I'm like, we can't sleep. No, I'm very uncomfortable. So, and then you start talking about the holiday, and obviously if you're going to start talking about the holiday, you're going to start talking about the outreach, or about the missions, etc., and one thing leads to another. He didn't come to salvation. There wasn't a point of me sharing with him. It was just God laying on my heart to share with him. And sometimes what I'm saying is that it's going to cost us sometimes our own comfort. You want to maybe yourself catch a DOS on the plane down. I'm not saying evangelize every single person on the plane. I'm saying remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit whenever and wherever you are, at work, when you're in the car, when you're in the shop, when you're going down, wherever. To just be readily available for the Holy Spirit to actually speak to you about anything. Yeah. Then the commission we chatted about, which a lot of us know and I quote a lot, where Jesus says, all authority, Matthew 28:18-20 says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I'm not going to expand too much on that. I expanded in the previous sermon on that. The Great Commission is a Great Commission. It's very blunt. It's very bold. And if we take that up literally, it'll change our lives and it'll change this world completely. Just one or two things there. We're having Liberty this coming weekend, one of our spiritual growth series. One of the biggest principle there is to facilitate for us to enter into a place of the authority that Jesus has given us. And Jesus says here that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go. So he's extending all that authority that has been given to him. He's extending that to us. Now liberty is very much, yes, there's a little bit of deliverance, etc., etc. And there's certain things that we do. We repent, we forgive, etc. But what we do is we literally enter into a place, or we just facilitate entering into a place of taking up the authority that God has given for us as his children. Having said that, and some of you here that have gone through liberty before, and you have a lot to give. You've entered into that place of authority. So I want to invite you that if you want to facilitate liberty and you haven't done that before, it's a little bit of a scary thought maybe for you, I want to encourage you to come and facilitate. We need a couple of more facilitators. We'll probably get some more recruits from Pretoria side, but I want to extend that invitation out to you. If you're here this coming weekend, it's going to be Friday evening and Saturday. However, I need you to connect with me or let me know by the latest tomorrow, because there's a whole lot of preparation that we as facilitators also need to do during this week. Okay, missions, what I wanted to just say quickly on this going, not really part of the sermon for now, but what I just wanted to say is our April missions that we're going on is we're going to Standerton and we're going to Bloemfontein. Yesterday was such a blessed morning just with the guys that are keen to go so far. And Jean-Marie is going to lead the team, and David is going to co-lead the team. David, just wave your hand there. Okay, just make note of that, because those that are interested need to chat to him afterwards quickly. The way that, now I know for a lot of us, leave is a little bit of an issue. And for us, it's just an issue. It's not a practicality. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. The thing is, for this mission, it would have been 4 days required for you to go on this mission. However, we're changing this slightly, and we're going to focus the first weekend, and we're going to focus on Stanerton. So you're going to have to take the Friday off. Okay, so we're extending the option for you to focus on either one of the 2 weekends. So you can take the Friday off and join the team for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Stanerton. Or you can join the team on the Wednesday. The Wednesday is a public holiday, the 1st of May. And they're going to leave on that day to Bloemfontein and then take off Thursday, Friday. So it's going to be from Wednesday up until Sunday to go to Bloemfontein. So it's going to be, you've got 3 options basically. You either take 1 day leave, 2 days leave, or 4 days leave. Yeah, so I'm not saying you have to. I'm saying that if you want to go on missions, that those are the options. Yeah, so I want to encourage you to join them. Even if you're really in negative 10 days leave and you can't go, then consider driving even through on the Friday evening. It's not that far. Stanerton is two hours drive. Bloemfontein is a little bit further. But if we coordinate it nicely, then we can send a nice, like a strong team. We're gonna in Stanerton, we're gonna do more outreach sort of things. Where in Bloemfontein, we'll probably also reach out in on campus, but also do probably a little bit of small group training, and et cetera. A big part of the focus of both, we're seeing it as one mission, but a big part of that focus will be intercession. So you are, whether you're going to get an opportunity to stand in front of people and share your testimony is definitely not a guarantee, but the guarantee is definitely that you will pray. And there's a very good chance that you'll have an opportunity to share your testimony with somebody quite random, and you'll need some courage to actually just do that if you haven't done that before. Okay, that's that for the promo. Speak to David afterwards if you are interested. You can, Jean-Marie's not here today. She's gone to Namibia. You can either chat to David, Jean-Marie, or myself, just in terms of getting in touch with that if you want more details. The other missions is in June, July. So if you're really saving, I believe there's going to be about five to 10 days that you're going to need for that. Okay, that's the promo for missions. Okay. All right, multiply. Now, I explained last week what multiply is about. Now, that video clip explained a little bit what it is. It is basically a book that Francis Chan wrote on discipleship, and their material is freely available on their website. And what we're going to do during the course of this next couple of months is we're going to facilitate a lot around the chapters in that book in our small groups. The intention of 2 weeks ago's sermon was to just, like, I painted this picture of, you know, with gymnastics, you got that one event where they got the vault. You jump on a springboard and then you jump over the vault. I tried to get a video clip where somebody epically fails, but it was just too sore to actually put it on there. So I saved you from that. But the intention from two weeks ago was actually just to lay down a springboard for the process we're going to embark on. And today's intention is to actually just align ourselves and say, okay, where do we focus in terms of us going forward? And in laying down that springboard, I explained how we're going to approach it. We're going to do one chapter. There's different chapters and there's different sessions in the chapters. So, for example, the first chapter is what is a disciple? And the heart of a disciple, I think, is the third one. So you're going to do one session per week, and I'll give instructions to the facilitators on how we're going to just for us or everybody to keep in step with how we're going to approach this. We are going to have a break every now and then where we're going to just recap on what is God prophetically saying to us through the Sunday messages and that, and facilitate that in small group again. But it's also going to be a nice opportunity to get everybody in the small group that are sometimes a little bit on the outskirts or that is still considering, do I slot in, do I not slot in? It is a nice opportunity to just get everybody on the same page in terms of how do we look at discipleship and how do we go forward from there. Having said that, thank you, Jermaine and Lexi. They wrote all the CDs for me a week ago. They came to me after the service and said, are they willing to write it? At the back in the info table, I want all of you to go and tick your name off your small group and grab one of the CDs. On the CD, every chapter is in there on PDF, and it's also an audio there. So if you can put it on your phone, it's on my phone. You can listen to it on your way to work. It takes about 20 minutes a chapter. And for that week, you can just meditate on what are the scriptures in there and what are the questions that are asking in there. We're going to facilitate in small group around some of the questions that come out in that thing. Okay, so that is a lot of a practical stuff. Afterwards, get your CD there. I'm not going to allow anybody to take CDs for other guys in their small groups unless they're the facilitator or the zone coach. Okay, so just note that if you're not in a small group, it's not a problem. There's an extra list there where I've just asked you to write down your name. I didn't leave space there, but just write down your email address as well, because I want to keep you in the loop on our progress and where we are, and send you maybe a letter in terms of looking at this or looking at that, etc. Okay. Right. Then we had a big motive check, and this is where I believe God wants us to spend most of our time on today is in terms of when we make disciples, and we need to do it out of a motivation of a love for God and a love for people. And that's where I stood still a little bit. And all we really prayed for at the end of that service is just a surrendering unto God in terms of allowing Him to facilitate whatever He wants to facilitate. It's not a program that I want to run. It's not a program that Francis Chan necessarily want to run. Okay, and believe that this is, we want to engage with God to hear what God is saying to us in this. Okay, and it's going to differ from small group to small group in terms of how you're going to facilitate this, because different people are at different places, and that is fine. And so we are really going to remain vigilant. We're going to remain having to ask the Holy Spirit to show us. You don't have to remain praying for the people, just because you don't necessarily not know what you're going to have to facilitate that coming week does not mean that you're going to have to fully rely on the Holy Spirit in that week. Otherwise, it's all, again, going to be just the program. Okay. Gosh, I've noticed quite a few new faces here this morning, which I haven't personally met. And if I haven't personally met you, then there's a good chance that there's people around you that haven't met you either. So just take a moment and look around, see who there is that you haven't met before, and just introduce yourself to them and say, welkom hierso, en kry vir koffie na die tyd. Okay, I didn't say you need to greet the whole congregation. I just said someone. Yeah, just on that is, I know I'm putting you a little bit on the spot, but it's really nice. It brings a lot of memories back to see you, Mr. Sato. It's Mickey Fine. I just used to call you Mr. Sato. His son used to be involved with the youth in Stellenbosch when I was studying there, and his son was in my small group. We used to have small group there at their place. So it just brings back a lot of memories, and it's nice having you here. But today we're gonna focus on like I said, in terms of the same analogy with regards to the gymnastics with us taking this run up. I believe that God just wants to call us here to a place of what do we focus on when we're going to start with this. And not only when we start with this, but what are we going to, just in terms of our life in general. And something that I just felt God in a very big way wanted to do this morning was to show us his Father's heart. And it was so amazing that an intercession came out, and it came out now very strongly during worship. And Stefan, I just want to tell you that I really believe that God has anointed you to through song bring a lot of freedom for a lot of people. And that's why I just felt that God wanted to release that song this morning through you. And he can do it with boldness. Okay, so what I just wanted to, what I believe God wanted to do with us this morning is to come and bring us and show us a little bit more of his heart, his Father's heart. And it might seem a little bit different in terms of, we're talking about discipleship, but now we're talking about the Father's heart. And those two aren't removed. Because if we embrace the Father's heart, if we have a revelation of who the Father is and his heart for us, we cannot but want to go and disciple and also share that revelation with other people. Okay. So, I just want to share this scripture quickly. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2. Says, therefore we also, I think Anton preached on this a couple of weeks ago in this same scripture. It's a slightly different emphasis. So therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set out before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I actually forgot to mention, if you go two slides back, it's still on its way. What I just believe that God wants us to do in terms of the focus that we're going on this journey is to focus on him, the author and the finish of our faith. I love this scripture, and God has shared a lot around this scripture with me before, with different emphasis, with a cloud of witnesses and the sin that so easily entangles us and the things that weigh us down, etc. But the thing that I believe that God wants to bring to our attention to fully embrace at least, is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The emphasis is not on the cloud of witnesses. The emphasis is not on the things that weigh us down. It's not on the sin that entangles us. It is fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that is where we're going to start today in terms of launching this, what we're going to do with Multiply. In Romans 9, verse 9 to 10, I shared on this briefly the previous time, and we didn't read the scriptures. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. What I shared there the previous time is that we confess with our mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. A lot of times we do not necessarily believe in our hearts that he is Lord. What that means is that we do not surrender unto his lordship a lot of times. Yes, we enter into a process of salvation. We become born again. And then from there on, there's a process of salvation, sanctification, that we embark on. And during that process, there is more and more a surrendering unto his lordship. In terms of when you were first confronted that you need to actually give your life to God, that you needed to be born again, you didn't fully understand what that meant. You just knew that at that time, God was calling you to him and that you needed to give up your life. And you responded to that. Somewhere down the line, you got confronted with the fact that I actually need to give up this and this and this and this and this and this and this as well. And now we're at a place where God most likely is telling you the same thing, but maybe on some other stuff. Okay, so I'm not saying that if you just came to salvation versus if you've been serving God for 20 years, that you as surrendering unto the lordship of Jesus might differ slightly in your walk in God, but there is whatever God is laying in your heart, that is what we need to surrender unto God in terms of, okay, Lord, you are in control. This area of my life, you have it. It is yours. You are Lord. You are in charge. I am not in charge. And face it, we still take charge a lot of times. Plenty of times. I do. And it is continually surrendering unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ that he is calling for us. So he's calling us to him as Savior, but as Lord as well. So just a quick question. Okay, and I love these kind of questions. Who do the people around you at work say Jesus is? Maybe just one or two responses. I'm going to be a little bit interactive in this next couple of minutes. Who do the people say in your workplace Jesus is? Typically the responses that come. A nice guy. Okay. A prophet. Have you got that response before? A prophet. Anybody else? One more? Good teacher or something. That is typically the responses that Jesus' disciples also get. The question that I pose to you is, who do you say Jesus is? The answer to that question, your answer to that question is going to determine the way that you relate to him. If you say he's my Savior, he's my healer, which he is, and he is, that's the way that you're going to relate to him. He's my buddy, that's the way that you're going to relate to him. And Jesus didn't come to die on the cross to be our bro and our surfer buddy necessarily. Okay? He's come to be Lord of our lives and King of our lives. He calls us friends, yes. But he's also Lord and King, and we need to give him that due respect as well. Anyway, so there's three responses, and I want to encourage you when you interact with people at work, when you interact with people who don't know Jesus, is don't always think that you need to give them the answer. I've learned that asking the right questions gives a whole lot more results than giving them the right answer. For example, the fact people cannot deny that Jesus existed. They can't. If they're a little bit resourceful, that then they'll know that Jesus did exist. It's just a matter of who was he? Okay? And to sum it up, they have to come to a conclusion that he was either a liar about what he said. Okay? He was either a liar or he was a lunatic claiming that he was the Son of God and he wasn't. Or he is, in fact, Lord. And people need to come to that conclusion. That is actually the only three things that they can come to as a conclusion to. But anyway, obviously just be a little bit sensitive there in terms of how you share that with people. Because people are at different stages. Yeah. Now, what I just believe that God is bringing us to is that Jesus, or let me read the scripture. It says in John 14, verse 6 to 11, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father, so how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. And in terms of us embracing the Father's heart, there's two options in terms of the message that I could share today. And one was purely on sonship, which we a lot facilitate during legacy. But I believe that God has laid a couple of scriptures in my heart that is slightly different. And the big focus here is on Jesus the whole time. And in this scripture, Jesus says that if you've seen me, you see the Father. And if we want to embrace the Father, I put up a quote. It's a little bit late, so I'll share that with you just now. Sorry, I don't remember where I put what. But if we want to embrace the Father's heart, we need to embrace His Son. And that's the way to embrace His Father's heart. God, there's God. Ooh. What happened to the time? Okay, I'll hurry up. Sorry, my bad. I don't know what happened there. I think I stood still too long on the first one. Okay, give me 10 minutes. Happy. Okay, 10. Another 10. Okay. Okay, I wanted to share, well, let me just share this short testimony. God has shared a lot of things with me with regards to just sonship and the way that He sees me. And lately as well, I spend time with God and I'm like, oh, okay, God, what is in your heart? Okay, and I come in with this whole agenda. Okay, God, what is in your heart? And then He says, you. And I'm like, what? Okay, but what about this and this and this? And He's like, no, I'm proud of you. You are on my heart. And time and time again, he just does that. I'm like, okay, God, what is in your heart? And He tells me, you. I mean, me now, not you. Okay. He might tell you that you are on His heart, but you get what I'm saying, okay? God just brings me so close to Him in those times where He just says, you are on my heart. And I come in with an agenda of all the small groups, all the leaders, my wife, my child. I come in with this in mind. And I say, okay, God, what is in your heart? Thinking He's going to speak to me about this. And then he talks to me about me and the way that He sees me. Very much similar to what God says to His Son when Jesus got baptized. And He said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And I believe that God is telling us today that wanting to tell each and every one of us here this morning that you are on His heart. If you go and you seek Him, you ask Him, Lord, what is in your heart? There's a good chance that He's going to tell you that you are on His heart. John 3, verse 16 to 21. I'm not going to read the whole portion now. I'm just going to read 16 to 17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And that is it. The Father demonstrating His love to us. And it's not a new message that I'm sharing this morning with you. It's a message that I just believe that we need to grow in revelation of. If we grow in revelation of His love, of the Father's love, of what Jesus has done on the cross, a revelation on the cross of Jesus, then we will be drawn to Him continually. And your mind will be blown just by His goodness and by who He is. Can the band come up so long? In the portion just after that part of John 3:16, Jesus goes on and he talks about darkness and light, people loving darkness, and we love to quote the scripture of Jesus having died for us, etc. And we don't necessarily look at the part that what is it going to cost us, and people think that they move into, or they think that they are fine, but they're not willing to leave the darkness. Jesus talks in that same portion of scripture. He talks about, but they loved darkness, and therefore they are not light. And I want to pose that, I believe that God has laid in my heart that there's someone here that has been running away from God. Not even necessarily running away, just not running with Him. If that makes sense. He's told you something a while ago and you just decided you're not going to do it. And from there on, your relationship with God has grown stagnant. It's become very dead in a sense. And you're asking yourself, is God actually still real? And I believe God is bringing you back to that place where He's saying, follow me, focus on me, and I will lead you to a place where you can experience the Father's heart again. I'm just going to leave you with this quote. Missed it somewhere in between. Was it up there earlier? Oh, okay. Can you get that quote by J.G. Blachnoth? Okay. An embrace of the Father's heart equals a surrendered heart, or a surrender of control to the Lordship of His Son. Now, there's a lot of digging that you can go and do there, whether that's biblically sound, etc., etc. But what I just felt that God was saying is that if you want to embrace the Father's heart, you need to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, His Son. Because you will not understand the Father's heart unless you stop at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ and say, okay, Lord, You are God. Let us stand. I want the ushers to just give out communion so long. There's a video clip that I'm going to show you. It is, I think, about 3 minutes long. I showed this a year ago, and what I want you just to stay with me just for another couple of moments in terms of this and what God is busy doing in our hearts. It is what I've been saying now is that in growing in a revelation or in growing in the knowledge of the Father's love or in an embrace of the Father's love, we need to grow in a revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ and about who Jesus is, about who Jesus says you are. I wanted to have this whole interactive conversation still, but that can't happen today because of time limits. About who are you? We had this conversation about who is Jesus? Who do people say Jesus is? But I wanted to ask you, who are you? And who you are is actually determined about who Jesus say you are. And therefore, I would take that back to God and say, okay, God, what is in your heart? And He's likely to tell you, you. And then you ask Him, okay, Lord, what about me? And allow Him to talk to you about that. I'm going to show you this clip, and then afterwards we're going to have communion, and we're going to just worship that song about Abba, Father. And allow the Holy Spirit to come and break open just chambers of your heart in terms of showing you the Father's heart. Okay, Daniel, you can show us a clip.
The Bible says, my King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know Him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define His limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know Him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know Him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And He beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know Him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know Him? Well, His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And His yoke is easy. And His burden is lighter. I wish I could describe Him to you. He's indescribable.
off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah!
Hallelujah. I just believe that God, it just speaks for itself. And there's so much to God. There's so much. He's so glorious. He's so awesome. Yet He's poured out that which was most precious to Him. He's poured out for us. Before we can go and do anything, before we can go for Him, we need to just embrace Him. So, Lord, I love You. I thank You for Your love. Hariki's just going to play softly, and just for the next minute or two, just during your own time, just speak to God. And when you're ready, take the bread, take the juice, as in remembrance of what Jesus has done on the cross for us and for you and for the world. Allow God to, in this next time, even now or in this next time, to break open your heart and for His love to wash you. There's a very good chance that you might find yourself weeping uncontrollably at times. And that is fine. Just because of the overwhelming revelation of Him. Of His love. There's nothing wrong with you. So I'm just going to stop talking for a moment or two. And just allow you. Just talk to God for a minute or two. And like I said, during your own time, if you're ready, you can have the bread, have the juice. Just before we worship Abba again, I just want to, there's quite a few people here, and I believe that God wants to tell you. It's a picture of Lion King. It's a picture that God has spoken a lot to me through that movie. And there's a scene there where Simba runs away, and where Rafiki the baboon just brings him to a place where he looks into the water. And he looks at his reflection. And he says, "Yo, it's just a reflection of me." And then he says, "Look closer." And then he says, "He lives inside of you." And then Mufasa talks through the clouds with Simba. And he says to him, "Remember who you are." And Simba makes apologies, says, "Yes, but this, and yes, but this." And then all he replies is just, "Remember who you are." And Christ in us is the hope of glory. If you go and look in the mirror, allow the Holy Spirit to fade your own face away to see Jesus in that mirror. It is Christ in you who's the hope of glory. I want to tell you, remember who you are. You are a carrier of the glory of God through Christ Jesus in you. And therefore you're a son and you're a daughter of God.